Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome, New York. Welcome, East Coast. Welcome, the entire country. You can follow us on sportsmancave.com, or you can go to iHeartRadio. We're on AM 1230 WFAS, or what they call now, talk radio.
Or BruceHallSports.com.
Or BruceHallSports.com. You can hear my show anytime you want. You can hear it live from 10 to noon Eastern time on BruceHallSports.com. And we do save all of our shows. For the most part, Matt tells me he does this, even though when I go on, sometimes I can't find them. But I'm illiterate on the internet. Yeah. I'm just illiterate.
I don't ever take your advice on whether something's working on the website.
You know, Matt, I'll have a problem. I can't figure it out. I'll hand Matt my computer, and 15 seconds later, I got no problem. So, I'm an idiot.
So, basically, what we're saying is even if you're just too close to a power line, you can hear our show somehow.
If I got a grade for the internet, for my computer skills, I'd be in kindergarten still. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to me. Roy won't be here today. I heard that. I heard everybody go, oh. Because everybody loves Roy. Because once Roy gets a few Red Bulls in him and gets that hangover literally behind him, he's always in pretty good shape. Once again, his wonderful team, West Virginia University, got beat by 10 yesterday. Texas Tech beat him. They came into Morgantown, kicked their butt. I'm pretty sure he's in Morgantown. And I think he's doing, you know, they did a party yesterday, and knowing Roy, he probably was DJing a day. And Roy, by the way, has accepted my invitation to be the disc jockey at my 60th birthday party. Which, you know, if you don't get an invite, I apologize because I'm having it in a little bitty place. But if you're an old friend of mine and I haven't given you an invite, feel free to call me at 1-800-466-4748. If you want to become my friend, you'll have to clear it with my CEO, my wife, Carol.
Can I scalp my invitation?
Absolutely.
I'll you can stand get, out in front
well,
of
Well, you know what? First of all, they don't cost anything. So anything you get over a penny is probably a pretty good deal.
That was some pretty cool card stock that you sent.
Yeah, you know, well, that was Carol. She did that. And listen, here's the thing. We just taped a segment. Sean Salisbury, by the way, is going to be on. We haven't even decided yet. It depends on when the studio tells us is when the most people are listening. So here's what I want to know. Give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294 during this segment right now. Let us know when you want to hear Sean. Do you want to hear him in the last segment of the day? Do you want to hear him in the first segment of the second hour? Do you want to hear him at 11:30 Eastern? Or do you want to hear him at the next segment? We can do it anytime we want because Sean is a regular on my show. He's great. He drives about 45 minutes to a high school, you know, probably 30, 35 miles from where his house is in Houston, Texas. He goes and he works with three really good high school quarterbacks who are obviously going to end up, you know, college quarterbacks who, if you pay any attention to where all the good quarterbacks are coming from right now, Case Keenum gets a start for the Houston Texans today. He played all of his ball at the University of Houston for 4 years. Matthew Stafford is in Detroit today, and you'll find out whether we like the Lions or not later on when I'm doing my segment on the NFL. But he is from Texas. I mean, all these guys that seem to be – Johnny Manziel is from Texas. I mean, you know, all of these guys that show up and make an impact in college football and in the pros, many, many, many of them are from the state of Texas. Now, if you look at a map of the United States – It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out Texas is a pretty big state anyway, and they do have a lot of people in the state of Texas. But the weather isn't bad either. It's usually hot in the summer, warm in the spring and the fall, and they get a little bit of ice, but they don't get much snow out there. And there's a lot of Cowboys out there, which is, you know, they're pretty tough guys generally speaking. And I don't mean the Dallas Cowboys because they're not. Where's the laughter?
Oh, hold on.
Come on, the laughter. let's try that again, Matt. Yeah, and I don't mean to say that the Dallas Cowboys are really tough, because they're not. That's much better. But listen, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. I want to go over a little bit. Let's talk baseball. We only got two teams left. We got the Boston Red Sox, who, oh, by the way, if you've never been to the city of Boston, and, you know, Boston's had some rough times. I mean, you know, they had the bombing at the Boston Marathon. They had all that. They got it together. Everybody got behind them. I love Boston to visit. I wouldn't want to stay there more than 3 or 4 days, because I went and saw back in the 80s when the Oakland A's had a very good team, because everybody was using steroids. I mean, they were. Jose Canseco, who writes books about steroids, and he swears by them, even at the, you know, in his 50s now. Mark McGwire, who somehow, because he did steroids and they ruined his career at the end of it and have ruined parts of his career, which would be a Hall of Fame vote one day. He is the batting coach now for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, by the way, got beat, and I wouldn't, you know, I'm sure he's not behind it, but they, you know, I always wonder about 3 or 4 guys on the Dodgers, whether they juiced or not. But I got to tell you, I went up there and I saw a series between the Boston Red Sox and the Oakland A's when Oakland swept them in 4 games, you know, for the American League title, for the pennant, and ended up losing, I think. Yeah, they did get beat, because that was when Raleigh Fingers, I think the Dodgers beat him. And that was when Kirk Gibson hit the bomb and all that good stuff, and he couldn't hardly make it around the bases. Well, their fans were so brutal to their players. And I'm sitting in the best seats in there, because I was in the ticket business for 30 years. And I'm sitting in box seats next to third base. And I'm literally getting spit on by people who are cussing so loudly that they have no control over their saliva. So they're screaming at these guys, and they're in seats that honestly cost $500 to $1,000 a piece for this playoff. And, you know, we're in Fenway Park, which is, you know, one of the greatest places you can ever go. You got to go. It should be on your bucket list if you're a sports fan. You got to go to Fenway at least once, maybe twice. When you're standing outside, you feel like you're in a warehouse district, because guess what? Fenway Park from the outside is just a big warehouse. It doesn't even look like a stadium. You walk in and it's like, wow, there's a field in here. And Canseco went crazy. McGwire went crazy. Everybody went crazy. Boston got beat 4 straight in that series. And I want to say it was in 88, maybe. It might have been 89 or 90, but it was early. It was in the 80s. And I just decided at that point that these people are freaking crazy that live up here. These fans are out of their minds. Now, I've taken several groups to the Super Bowl from New England. And Pats fans are a little different. Pats fans, a lot of them got a lot of money. The Patriot fans have been to so many, you know, playoffs and Super Bowls and big games. They don't even buy packages to the Super Bowl. What they do is they buy their air either Saturday or Sunday, and they fly in the day of or the day before, and they don't care if they got to pay for 4 days in a hotel room. They pay for 4 days and show up 1 or 2 days. And I got to tell you, they know how to cheer. They don't do anything. When Philadelphia went to Jacksonville, which is a horse's patootie place to have a Super Bowl, I mean, they didn't have enough hotel rooms, so they brought these big ships in to the docks there. And it was cold. I mean, it's Jacksonville, Florida, but it was like 40 degrees, 35 degrees at night during the Super Bowl down there. That's Southern Georgia is what it is. But when they came, it was the first Super Bowl in a long, long time for the Philadelphia Eagle fans and the Eagles. And that was the Donovan McNabb I threw up all over my cleats game, because he was out of shape and he got real nervous. So no matter what Donovan McNabb ever says to you, you always can hold. Just say, hey, by the way, did you really heave your entire lunch all over your shoes? Yes, he did. I have that. But anyway, Matt's just giving me the 30-second sign. But anyway, all I wanted to say was those Philadelphia fans, they came all week. And you know what? They were so drunk and so hungover and so wore out by the end of the week that they had nothing left after halftime. And that's when the Patriots closed on them, scored all those points, and won a Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi Trophy. And it just goes to show you don't have to be there all week to be a good fan. We'll be back in a minute here on AM 1230 News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Matt's not used to having me by myself here. He's like, I sat there and made him listen to my story. Let me tell you
we
something.
We forgot how to radio somehow.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to protect you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and we're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. How was that? Was that pretty good? I've memorized all these things.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the National Association of Realtors, is, in my opinion, is probably one of the greatest associations in the history of this country because I've been a realtor for almost 30 years. I got my real estate license in 1986, and you know what? I got ripped off by my broker. He kept the better part of $125,000 commission I made on selling one of my best friend's father's farms. And I ended up having to sue this guy, and I spent so much money on attorneys that that I ended up, only keeping $25,000, $30,000 when it was all said and done. So I decided at that point I was going to become a broker because I had 2 years of experience as a real estate salesperson. And if you're a broker, guess what? Once you pass your broker's license and you're registered as a broker in whatever state you practice real estate in, you get the check made out in your name and not the joker that you work for. Well, as it turns out, I did that. I've kept my education current because every 2 years you have to have another 30 hours of classes, and I do that, and it's fun too, and I like going to those classes. Let me tell you, the National Association of Realtors makes sure that the realtor who is representing you in either buying or selling a piece of property or a home knows what they're doing. And I couldn't be happier to have anybody else than have them as be one of my major sponsors of the show. And I like to thank the NAR for all they do for us. Okay. Now, look, I'm going to talk about some NCAA football right now. And, we got a caller. I bet this is Steph Stradley. Steph, is this you? Steph, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Steph, thanks for calling in. Look, you know what? You probably sent me. I'm here by myself today. Roy is actually. He went to the West Virginia game. Poor kid.
Like I'm chopped liver.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And Matt took the call. Thank you, Matthew. But I have one of my favorite people on Twitter on the line. Steph, tell everybody how they can find you. And right now, because there's nothing worse than getting caught at the end of a segment and not being able to get you a plug, tell everybody. Tell them who you practice law with in Houston area, and tell them how they can get a hold of you on Twitter. And you have a blog, correct?
Yes, I write for the Ultimate Texans portion of Houston Chronicle. I've been writing about the Texans since 2006. And I also have a non-Texans blog that's just my personal blog that I have hosted at my law firm. And you can find that by just typing in Steph Stradley or Stephanie Stradley, and it'll come right up, stephstradley.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Steph Stradley. So Steph with a P-H and Stradley, S-T-R-A-D-L-E-Y.
And she's not too hard on the eyes either, everybody. And I got to tell you, Steph, that's one of the favorite things that I look forward to in all of your tweets. Generally, you change your picture from time to time, but Steph looks like she's 6 feet tall. She looks like a model. She looks like you look like a former forward for the University of Texas Longhorn girls basketball team.
I'm more like 5'8" and wearing sweatpants right now. So it's not necessarily one of my best looks.
Now I'm going to ask a stupid question. You're going to the Texans game, right?
No, this one's in Kansas City.
Oh, that's right. It's in KC. You didn't fly out for that? I'm surprised.
No. Life has intervened. I spend enough time just writing about the team that it's very difficult to travel to games, but I go to all the home games.
Well, you know what? I'm the same way. When I get to the Beltway, when I leave after doing my show in Columbia, Maryland, I can either go to the right and go home and lay on my couch and watch Red Zone, or I can go left and go to FedEx Field and be in all that crap over there.
Well, I understand that y'all's stadium isn't very easy to get in and out of.
No, it's not.
One here in Houston is actually pretty easy to get in and out of, and they encourage tailgating, so you can go really early. There's no traffic. You go right in, and you eat some of the best barbecue you could ever have in your whole life.
Steph, it's just the opposite here. We're owned by a moron by the name of Daniel Snyder. And if you want to find out how popular he is, he's so popular with the NFL, you're a lawyer, so I couldn't believe he didn't sue the NFL and or John Mara and company like Kraft and those guys when they penalized him $18 million on the salary cap for two straight years. He and Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry didn't get penalized that much, but he got penalized enough that it made a difference. You remember that. Why wouldn't you sue them and at least get an injunction or something to keep them from doing that? Because that literally is why the Redskins have no special teams now, because they couldn't.
Well, I think the bigger issue with that is the reason why they violated things is they didn't actually violate the salary cap. They violated the spirit of the salary
cap.
Yeah,
whatever that is.
In the alleged uncapped year. Well, what happens if you sue because you don't like the penalty that you got on a rule that technically wasn't supposed to exist?
Right.
Well, the problem with that is if there's a lawsuit, that means that there's discovery. And guess who would be really interested in finding out any kind of backroom deals that artificially inhibited the giving players salaries? It would be the Players Association.
Right.
I mean, basically, they had a secret deal. I mean, the reason why there was the uncapped years that there was no ceiling and no floor, and this was supposed to encourage both sides to cooperate because theoretically the players wouldn't want no floor being available, and the owners wouldn't want no ceiling being available.
Exactly.
And that was supposed to get a deal done without having
faster.
A lockout.
Right.
But the problem with that was there was some sort of spirit of the cap rule.
Yeah.
So that teams couldn't dump all their bad contracts into that year. Well, that was a secret deal that artificially inhibited the salaries going crazy. And, you know, that is information that the Players Association would very much want. So, yeah, basically, you know, Snyder had to suck it.
Yeah, you know, he did. So you're telling me he took that one for the team, Dan Snyder? For the NFL?
Well, the alternative is right. To have the Players Association come after you with a whole bunch more money. And,
right. And
you know, the next CBA agreement with the players is only 10 years, you know, 10 years from the previous cap. That's going to come around really quickly. And any kind of discovery that suggests that there's collusion between the owners would be beneficial to the players.
You know what? No one has explained that any better than you just explained it to me, because everybody I asked knew too much and wouldn't tell me anything. You just explained, Steph, you are my legal analyst on my show from now on. Now, listen, let's talk about something near and dear to your heart. What in the world is wrong with the Houston Texans? You know, my co-host, who is not here today, thank God, because he's probably still drunk or hungover, Roy Edwards, who's phenomenal, by the way. He's sportsmancave.com. The thing about the Texans, he picked them to be in the Super Bowl this year. Now, I didn't pick the Texans in the Super Bowl in the AFC, but I liked them being in the game. You know, I liked them in the AFC Championship game this year. What's going on? Because they're nowhere near that team right now. But if you look at their statistics, they have the best numbers in the league, except for pick sixes going the other way.
Well, and penalties. Right. In the Ravens game that they had, it was a really close game, and then 14 penalties probably doesn't help you out.
No.
There's a lot of different things going on. First things first.
Okay.
their starting, the beginning of the year schedule that they had was very difficult schedule. So, you know, in a parity league, if you have a slightly more difficult schedule, that's going to look bad for, you know, typically you're not going to go undefeated with those games. So that's just one factor. The second factor is, yeah, you have all these turnovers and penalties. Now, if you talk to the stat people and the betting people, they will tell you turnovers from week to week are less consistent than, let's say, yardage is. So today's game is going to be a big test of that theory. You might think that with a third-string quarterback starting for the Texans, the spread would be bigger than 6.5. And the reason why it's not is, yeah, the Texans have all those yardage things. They have a decent defense. They have a running game. And the thought is, well, maybe the Chiefs won't have the turnover luck that they've been having, and the Texans will have increased turnover luck. That's the idea. But right. the flip side of that is, if you're just looking at what's happening with the Texans currently, they've had some key injuries in the first number of games, and they are about as injured of a squad as you could be on the offensive side of the ball. Matt Schaub is clearly not playing this game. They're going with the third-string quarterback, Case Keenum.
Who you got to see in college a lot, probably.
Yes. And I
got to tell you, I'm an East Carolina alum, and he beat us up several times. We only beat him once that I can even remember, and that was like in overtime at the end of a game.
Yeah, I mean, and I've watched him both of his camps. The first camp that he had was a little difficult because he had never been under center.
Right.
But this particular offense could not be any better for his skill sets if he was going to be succeeding on the NFL level. He does have, you know, he is faster than a lot of quarterback options, but not in the Russell Wilson sense where he's faster than most
right,
of the guys.
Right. And he's not a real big physical guy either.
No, he is listed at 6'1". He is not.
He's smaller than I am. I've met him.
Yeah, he's not a very big guy, but
he can throw it.
But with this particular offense, all you have to do is make the right decision.
Right.
And because they do a lot of bootlegs and rollouts and things of that nature, you're going to be creating passing lanes so that even if you're not a particularly tall guy,
mm-hmm.
you can see down the field. The other thing that he gives that maybe some of the other options of the Texans don't give is, ideally in this offense, you want a quarterback that if they don't respect the bootleg, they can just run for yardage.
Right.
So that's what you have in an RG3 that's in the same system.
Right.
Or sort of the same system. I mean, I guess they've adjusted.
Well, it's similar. Yeah, it's similar because yeah. he was out there.
Yeah. So, I mean, so basically, if you don't have the ability to punish people for not kind of respecting that the quarterback can run downfield, they
right.
can run their defenses differently. But if they run the offense the proper way, there should be players open in the field. Now, the question is the offensive line going to be able to give him enough time to throw down the field? And will the running game be able to get going against a defense that, though statistically isn't great against the run, part of that is that teams sometimes in those circumstances get away from the run because they're behind in games.
Yeah, well, they have to. Now, you've got two great running backs. There's no question about it. And Arian Foster, I'm guessing, is 80 to 90%, but he's still at 80 to 90 better than most guys. And I really love the other guy who a lot of people think, I think he's a free agent after this year, maybe.
Ben Tate's going to be a free agent this year.
He's a stud. He's a stud.
Unfortunately, this season he's had some fumble issues at really critical times.
Right. Well, you don't want to do that.
And he's had that issue in the past as well.
Steph, how long? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just didn't want to forget this. How long is Owen Daniel out for? Because he's good. I've always liked him at tight end.
Yeah.
Isn't he out for a few games?
No, he's out for a while because he's on the IR designated to return list. So, I mean, he basically broke a bone in his leg. So, really, his, you know, him coming back is just a function of the bone healing. So, you know, we're probably not going to see OD back in a Texans uniform until December.
Oh, geez.
And the difficulty with him is, you know, his contract's very big.
Right.
Garrett Graham, the other tight end, his contract is over at the end of this season.
And you lost a couple of good offensive linemen to free agency, didn't you?
Well, that was a couple of years ago. But
yeah,
I
but that, that still hurt you.
I think part of the issue is since that time they've been searching for answers on the right side of the line and having to develop players. And,
right.
And then you have an aging quarterback that they were hoping could get you through the window of this group of players. And I don't think that it's happened that way. I mean, with Matt Schaub, you know, he had a decent start of last season, but it was kind of like what the Chiefs are experiencing now, that they got a tremendous number of turnovers and the offense was able to take advantage of that. But then the turnover luck stopped for the Texans at the end of the season. Schaub was asked to do more, and he had probably his worst stats that he's ever had in his career, even if you look at the first part of his career.
Right.
And the hope was after a full camp, you know, he would be back on track, and he really has not looked sharp, obviously, if you know, with the pick six issues. And and you know, now it's even more difficult because, you know, you would think, well, maybe the Texans could get on a run now that their schedule was lightening up and that they had an easier strength of schedule, but now they're all hurt.
Steph, can you do me a favor? Can you hang on, because I want you to talk about Bum Phillips when we come back. Do you mind hanging on for a minute?
Not a problem.
All right, that's Steph Stradley with the Houston Texans. She's an expert on everything, and she's a legal expert, I'm finding out, because she just taught me more about a situation we had here in Washington. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Steph Stradley on the line. Steph, you're still there, right?
Yes.
Every once in a while, we lose somebody. It's a Maryland thing. I do the show out of Columbia, Maryland, out of Matt's studio. And I drive here from Northern Virginia, from a little place called Reston, Virginia, which is 5 minutes from Dulles Airport. If you've ever flown into Dulles, you know where I'm talking about. I'm on the toll road. You talk about a booming metropolis there. But listen, a friend of football, a friend of Texas, died this past week at the age of 90, Bum Phillips. Now, a lot of these kids today, they don't even know who Bum Phillips is because they're just, you know, they're not 60 like me. But Bum Phillips was one of my favorite coaches of all time. I never saw the guy say a bad word about anybody. He produced a really nice kid. And I'm going to tell you, Wade is a nice kid. One of the problems he had as head coach of the Cowboys, in my opinion, was he was just, you know, he was too nice a guy to be working for Jerry Jones. It was just hard. And Jerry was loyal to him. Don't get me wrong. Jerry liked him too. But he's a great defensive coordinator. Can you spend a few minutes just telling us your favorite Bum Phillips? I mean, the thing that I was amazed at is I didn't even realize he was as old as he was. He enlisted in the Army or the Marine Corps, right?
Marine.
He was a Marine. He was in World War II. Well, my father was in World War II. My father died in 1964 and was in the Pacific Rim during the war. So was Bum. But then he got back, and my favorite story was the place he was working asked him to donate money to a candidate or a certain nonprofit organization, and he didn't believe in that organization, and he wanted to give his money to somebody that he wanted to give it to. And they said, well, you can't do that. And they said, well, hell, then have my check ready. I quit. You got to love a guy like that.
No, he had the most improbable life that you could have. I mean, we see the movie Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Bum Phillips' real life is so much more improbable. He grew up in East Texas in the Depression, and he had very little money for anything. His dad didn't want him to get into football in high school because he was afraid he would get hurt and wouldn't be able to help out at home.
Sure.
With just basic chores. World War II came around. He not only was he a Marine in the Pacific, he was a Marine Raider. And he did all that island hopping things where, you know, a lot of the people that he served with just didn't come back. And right. he ended the war as a private because he kept on getting in trouble.
Well, I gotta love that too.
And so then when he came back to Texas, you know, he had a job in a factory, and one they asked everybody to support a charity, and it was a charity that when he was in the war didn't give him any help at all. And so he goes, I don't want to support that charity, and he just walked the job and then accidentally became a part of football. He got a football scholarship. He just happened to see these players playing football and joined in and eventually became a high school coach. And then he did all sorts of innovative things in Texas as a high school coach. It was very successful. Eventually worked with Bear Bryant for Texas A&M and then got into the NFL ranks. One of the things that people don't know about him, you know, people know about his folksy demeanor and all the, you know, famous sayings that he said, but he was a very critical part of installing his version of the 3-4 on the NFL level that had been used in the college level for a while.
Yeah, he was the first, right?
Well, he wasn't the first. He was one of the first, but it was very difficult to persuade his head coach to allow him to run the 3-4 because the idea was, well, if you run the 3-4, people are just going to be able to run on you. And his point was, no, you still have all the people up front that can stop, you know, stop the run, but they're linebackers instead of linemen. And he used that when he was with the Oilers mostly because he didn't have enough defensive linemen to run a 4-3. And the idea behind a 3-4 is it's easier to find the physical bodies to be linebackers
right.
versus the physical bodies to be defensive linemen. So he had a player with the Oilers in the early years named Robert Brazil, who was pretty much Lawrence Taylor before Lawrence Taylor was around. Big guy, very physical. He had Curly Culp as his nose tackle. And, you know, for somebody...
He was an NCAA wrestling champion at Oklahoma State. I knew that.
And he's just now in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
He did. And the thing that makes it a kind of a different thing for this part of the world is he managed to trade up and get the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
So in the late 70s, you know, Houston didn't have, you know, we loved football in this part of the world, but we hadn't had much success. We had a terrible owner, and here's this guy who is country as country could be,
yep.
who gets Earl Campbell in and starts to challenge the Pittsburgh Steelers for dominance in the AFC. Now, they never were able to knock down the door, but it was a special time in the city because, you know, back then the players didn't have so much money that, you know, they, you know, lived in, you know, gated communities. They were part of the community and had jobs in the summer, and it was just kind of, you know, I recently heard, or not, maybe a few years ago, I heard Bum talk about it, and he was just saying, yeah, it was a different time where we were just kind of all in this together. And you can still see this on YouTube. You know, even after the Oilers lost to the Steelers, they had the buses come back into the Astrodome, and the Astrodome was completely filled with people cheering for the losing team. Now, when does that happen? It happened 2 years in a row with over 50,000 people in the Astrodome cheering for a losing team. It was just a different time. And then it ended because Bud Adams fired Bum Phillips, and it got dismantled. But his legacy is, if you think back at all the coaches that you really, really loved, he had all of the elements of those kind of coaches where he knew what he was doing,
yep.
and he encouraged you to be the best person that you could be as a player, whether you were a great player or a player barely on the end of the roster. I mean, he was just an amazing, genuine individual. And then, you know, and he quit when he didn't need to quit, and he just wanted to be more with his family. And in his later years, supported a whole number of great charities. Like, if you want a really good book to read,
yep.
read his autobiography.
That's what you told me yesterday. I need to do that.
Oh, it's a quick read, and, you know, if you have teenagers.
Those are the best kind for me, big letters. I need big letters.
Well, and it would be a good book to show, you know, teenage kids.
Sure.
completely appropriate for it. And it just, you know, and he talks about his Christian faith, which he says, you know, I don't want to put it in people's faces, but, you know, this became a huge part of my life later in my life that I really appreciated it. And it was till the end. And, you know, he just turned 90 a couple weeks ago, and he had been in poor health recently.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
He died at his home, surrounded by friends and family.
That's the way you want to go. You know, either that or in your sleep with your friends around you. You know, I'm talking to Steph Stradley, expert on the Houston Texans, great-looking lawyer from the city of Houston. And didn't Bum, Steph, didn't he stay a Texans fan for a long time? I mean, he was a Houston Texans fan, right? He wasn't a Cowboy.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Cowboy fan.
He was well.
He was when Wade was there.
When Wade was there, but you know, his heart has always been in Houston, mm-hmm. and so when Wade came here, he was probably the happiest person about that over anyone. And the last couple of years, he came to Texans training camp wearing all his Texans gear. I had the good fortune, you know, after watching his teams back in the day, I had the good fortune to meet him and his wife Debbie and talk to them a number of times at camp. And
that is so cool.
He couldn't be any of a nicer human being. I mean, we should all aspire to have life.
Absolutely, and I got to tell you, that's why I wanted you to talk about him, because nobody knows more than you. Now we got about 30 seconds left on the segment, and I know you got to go. But I just want you to make an honest pick today. Do they have a shot, the Texans, today with Case Keenum at quarterback against Kansas City in Arrowhead, or is it going to be like a 10-point game, but it's going to be a good game?
You know, if he just needs to stay within himself and not turn over the ball.
Yeah, because you guys are minus 12, which is like next to last in the league in turnovers. And a lot of that, yeah, turnovers, penalties, that'll kill you.
Well, and the good news for him is, you know, Sage Rosenfeld just recently put out on Twitter that the Texans' offense is about as easy as it can be for a young quarterback. So, I mean, it's a system. If he just stays within himself, yeah, there's plenty of talent that they could beat Kansas City on the road.
Steph, listen, can I bring you back on real soon? Would that be okay with you?
Anytime.
All right. Hey, Steph Stradley, my favorite Texans fan. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm a realtor. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back. Matt's back. We're back. I'm not wrong very often. That's just something I like to say. You know, one time I was wrong. I thought I was wrong, and I was wrong about being wrong, so I was actually right. So that really doesn't count as being wrong. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Had Steph Stradley on. Boy, I'll tell you what. She explained that, you know, you got to get lawyers involved every once in a while. We got to have Mike McCartney on. I don't think he's a lawyer. He's a coach. He's an agent. It's a coach. But we could probably get Tim Brandt on or Andrew Brandt. Not Tim Brandt. Tim Brandt's not a lawyer.
Well,
that's
we're
for
coming
sure.
up on the trade deadline, so I'm sure Mike would be... be okay after a week or so.
Hey, guess what we're going to talk? We're going to talk NFL football, which is like my favorite thing to talk about. We got another segment left before the turn of the hour. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking at all the neat little people that are I love this.
The neat little people.
The neat little people who are sending me direct messages on Twitter. By the way, listen to me. If you don't listen to me, you're a moron, and I'm going to tell you why. I give more great information every day to people who like to play games, either in fantasy league. Like my son, for a kid that never listened to a word I ever said most of his adult life so far, when it comes to his fantasy football team, he texts me every friggin' 15, 20 minutes. Dad, this guy or this guy, dad, this guy. That. So at least he knows I'll know who I like.
You got to work out the trade deal. I'll tell you who to start if you do the damn dishes.
Well, he don't do dishes. Are you kidding me?
I know. Well, then
Carol never lets the dishes sit there 5 minutes. I mean, Davis has
wash
a lot.
Wash my car and I'll tell you who to start.
Let me explain to what my son has. My son has exactly my genes. When he goes in the bathroom, he brushes, except for I clean out the sink. He doesn't do that. But he goes in the bathroom. It looks like someone just tossed a grenade in there when he leaves. In his, you know, when Davis is home, because his shoes are like one shoe's by the front door, the other shoe's by the stairs. The shirt is off on the way upstairs. It's like a very sexy thing if it was a woman dropping stuff. But it's my son on his way to his room. Davis, I love you. You know that, buddy. Hey, listen, we're gonna talk football here, which means we're gonna start off now because Tony Mazur, who is 2-0. And trust me, if you're a handicapper and you started a season on the radio 2-0, I told him, I said, you got to come on and you got to give me your pick. I don't care if it's for 30 seconds, Mazur, you got to give me your pick. So he's going to come on the last segment and we're going to talk a little NFL football. I'm going to find out what's going on in Cleveland a little bit because they got a big game today. And they should be. I'm not a Brandon Whedon fan. I mean, I think the guy is – well, we won't talk about him
is
now.
Is anybody a Brandon Whedon fan?
You know what? Well, the guy is older than every quarterback in the league, and it's like, only his second year. I mean, that alone kind of hurts him a little bit, don't you think? But anyway, I'm going here. And listen, if you're following me, you should go to NFL.com or go to scoresandodds.com. Scoresandodds.com, and you'll be looking at exactly the same sheet I look at. And, oh, by the way – the first game on here is the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. Are you going to hit me a little? God, I love it when you do that. The Patriots currently are -3. The total is 43.5. The money line is -180 if you bet the Pats to just win. If you take the Jets, you're at 155 plus. And I got to tell you, that's not good enough to take the Jets against the Patriots. Let me just say two names here. Tom Brady, Geno Smith. Who do you want at your birthday party? Exactly. Take Tom Brady to cover -3. I'm not playing this game, and I'm not releasing this game, and I'll tell you why. You know what I like here? I like the under. I like under 43.5. I think it's going to be like a 20-7 game, Patriots. Maybe 20-10, 23-10. I don't think that Tom Brady is going to score 31-42 points, like, you know, what a comeback he held the other day. I mean, when they beat the New Orleans Saints this past week, that was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen because that game was over. It was over, Matt. It was over. And what did New Orleans do wrong? They left him just enough time to go the length of the field. And rule number one, if you're a football coach and you coach the secondary and there's one play left and the other guy's got the ball in your 20-yard line, don't let anybody get behind you. Now let me think about this for a second. If I'm a defensive back, a safety, or even a linebacker, because, you know, you gotta admit they should have had, this is where I thought that Rob Ryan dropped the ball. Rob Ryan didn't call timeout, and he had timeouts left. When they went the length of the field in like 20 seconds, I would have called a timeout just to break that up and talk to my guys on the sideline. And one of the things you always tell them as a coach, because I know I'm a coach, I'm Coach Hall.
You grab them by the ear.
By both ears, and you go, don't let anybody behind you. Keep everything in front of you. How did they score? That guy let a receiver behind him, a receiver that drops 5 balls a game, by the way, and made the best catch of his career. And the guy jumped as high as he could, and he missed the ball by about 6 inches, but the other guy caught it, and he had about 2 feet to spare. So here's what you do from now on, you freaking moron. Go to the goal line and wait for him to come to you, then just slide back and stay. Keep him between the ball and you and come up and knock the ball down. don't reach back as far as you can and jump as high as you can and be 6 inches short knocking the ball down. Okay? Has everybody got that? Now, that's all Rob Ryan needed to do. No matter how good Rob Ryan is with X's and O's as a defensive coordinator, look at me, Matt. This is important. He's always going to be a Ryan. He's going to be Buddy Ryan's son. He's a moron. The smart guy is the guy in New York with the Jets, who's a moron about half the time anyway.
He keeps his moron off the field.
He's though. A fun moron. Yeah, evidently this week he told all of his players to leave their wives alone, but then he cleared that up by saying, "Oh, I didn't tell them not to have sex with them." Yes, you did. You told them to leave their wives alone. That's a sex thing. First of all, I used to go by that theory when I was younger because it does make you pretty mean when you get all that stuff built up inside you. But I got to tell you something. You do play better when you're more relaxed, especially in baseball. So, you know, I would never say that to a hitter. Leave your wife alone for a week. Yeah, God, they'd be swinging at balls over their head. You know, you need to be relaxed. When you need to be relaxed, you need to be with your wife. When you don't need to be relaxed, yeah, you can let it build up a little bit. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm teaching everybody a little something about life now. Leave that game alone. I like the under just slightly for 3 stars. Next game. San Diego at Jacksonville. Well, if you're San Diego, you got to be feeling really good about this game. They're playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Now, I will say this. Last week, the Jaguars covered, and I did not have them. I went the other way. Denver started out like they were going to do something, but, you know, sometimes you play down to the talent level of your opponent. Sometimes you play up to the talent level of your opponent. People have always accused the Dallas Cowboys of this and Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. Like when they played, you know, Peyton Manning looked like they had the game, and then he threw the pick and they lost.
That was still hit for hit with the best team in the league.
But they were at home too. But my point is, in this game, if San Diego takes Jacksonville for granted, they could lose this ball game. Now, it's a 7-point spread, and the over-under is 44.5. I almost activated a tight end as my swing player in my fantasy league. This kid, Foria, from the Detroit Lions, who has 5 touchdowns on only 7 receptions for the year. Mm. But I decided to keep the number 2 receiver, and I forget his name, but he's with San Diego because they're playing Jacksonville, for Christ's sake. How good is Jacksonville? Not very. They may have one of the worst teams in the history of the NFL. When the season's over, and they may be 0-16. And they're probably going to get the number 1 pick in the draft. And if they get the number 1 pick in the draft, as opposed to the New York Giants, for all you Giant fans, don't give me a call. Tell me what a moron I am. 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. But if they do end up 0-16 or 1-15 and they have the number 1 pick in the draft, they could get Johnny Manziel. They get Johnny Manziel, guess what? They're going to be happy.
Don't you think, though, that Johnny
Manziel... And he's
Manziel,
not Tim Tebow.
Don't you think, though, that Johnny Manziel would pull an Eli Manning and say,
maybe he should trade me up here. You know what? He probably would. And you know what? The league might say to Johnny Manziel, who cares? You know, you're Johnny Manziel. Clean your act up. You got a lot of baggage anyway. For all we know, you're going to be hanging out with drug dealers, crack dealers. You know, you're going to be selling. You'll be selling. You'll buy a whorehouse somewhere. I mean, they could do that. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, leave it. I'm taking San Diego minus the 7 for 3 stars.
And I had to give my fantasy football pick for this. Player that you might not have on your team.
Who?
Well, because I have him.
Who?
I know you don't.
Who?
Woodhead for San Diego.
Danny
he's
Woodhead.
He's like the third running back. But
yeah, for San Diego. Is he healthy?
Yes.
Though? Okay, good.
If he's healthy,
you got to activate him.
He did nothing for the first 3 weeks, and he has just exploded the past couple of weeks.
Everybody got that? Danny Woodhead is actually a decent. Anybody on the Chargers is a good pick. Hey, how many? I think 100% of all of the guys that own the big tight end for San Diego.
I don't know.
Well, I can't even remember his name because, you know, I had him for 3 years and he did nothing. But anyway, Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates is probably active in 100% of the pools today because he's going to catch 3 touchdown passes, 11 passes for about 200 yards. Nobody can guard him. Take San Diego minus 7. And I'm going to tell you the big reason why you do this, people, is because they've been beat by double figures in every game this year. Next game, Matt. This is a big, huge game here. Houston, Kansas City, talked about it with Steph Stradley. Even Steph wouldn't say Houston was going to win. I don't blame her. Kansas City has the best defense in the league. They're the best story in the league. They're in Arrowhead. They play a Houston Texans team who is playing a second-year quarterback in his first start of his NFL career. And I happen to like Case Keenum. I really do. If Houston beats Kansas City today, I'm going to be in deep trouble. I'm taking Kansas City minus the 5.5. I think that line should be 10, personally. But see, Andy Reid isn't getting the respect that he deserves in Vegas. And everybody's expecting Houston. Houston, if you look at the numbers, is the number one team in the league. They have the fifth best defense, yardage-wise, and they have the number one offense in the league, yet they suck. They're 2-4. Go to the next game.
Well, hold on.
I'm sorry.
I have to bring this up.
Well, are you going to argue with me?
No.
Take Kansas City minus points. What?
Kansas City is probably the most hated team by NFL films right now.
Why?
Because they're so boring, but they're still winning.
You know what? Boring is good.
There's nothing that they can like.
It doesn't
show on
matter.
The...
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
it
just
is.
Saying...
They're showing turnovers.
It's when it's...
They have more turnovers than anybody. And by the way, they sacked the Raiders 10 times. 10 yeah. sacks in one game. But can you... we? That's not boring, Matt. If you like defense,
I know. I'm talking. There's none of those huge passes for 50 yards that go into. Toes tapping in the end zone. It's just straight up. Boring dink and dunk football.
I don't
but it's
see.
Working.
But you know what I see here. I see 23-10 Kansas City. I don't see it. This is going to be a boring game. Now, what could be exciting is if Houston somehow, Matt, scores 3 or 4 touchdowns with Case Keenum. You know, as a matter of fact, but I don't see it happen. And by the way, they set the record last week for the loudest stadium in history. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
All right, I'm not even going to get in that argument. Matt and I, when we have 5 minutes, we go over Obamacare like nobody's business. And by the way, what we went over just now is the lack of Obamacare. By the way, no, this isn't a political show. That'll be my next suit. By the way, I've been asked to
just
be.
Just join Bruce Hall on Twitter.
Yeah,
Bruce,
yeah, just tell Bruce me how Hall much sport. You hate me. Actually, you can go to my Facebook page and do that. I got friends of mine I grew up with that are so – they're just like you. They are so far to the left that they have fallen off of our square world. And by the way, the world isn't circular anymore. It's been – what we've done to the environment has made it a square world. You can fall off the edge now from what I understand. Is that true?
You should just stick to football.
I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're done with all of our political. And by the way, we were supposed to have Chuck Todd on last week. And I love Chuck Todd. And Chuck Todd is, you know, NBC's guy. He's always at the White House. He's the White House correspondent for NBC. There's also another guy that does that. But Chuck has like 3 or 4 shows now. And if you follow him on Twitter, he's really a guy that tries so hard to stay in the middle. And it's really hard for him because his wife is a big time Democratic lobbyist, but I love Chuck because he's a very patient and a very thoughtful guy, and literally will listen to both sides. But he's also going to start giving us his pick of the week, and see, that's all I care about. If Chuck gets hot with picks like Tony Mazur, we're going to have him on every week. Hey, as a matter of fact,
Twitter. He was talking about baseball this morning.
Yeah, well, I do read the Twitter, goofball. I'm up at 5:30, long before you get up, Batman. By the way, Matt loves Batman. We got Batman. We got more Batman pictures in here than sports pictures.
Hey, I got the Washington.
Of course,
Redskins
it is
decade
Matt,
of champions poster.
It is Matt's
over,
studio.
The decade of champions poster over there.
I can't see it. It's too far away. I'm Bruce Hall. We're going to continue where we were. Here's the thing. You're killing me.
Anytime I can play that, I will.
Excuse me. Okay, we stopped off, and this is very important, But we stopped off at the Cincinnati Bengals at the Detroit Lions. This is a very big game. Now, it's an NFC. It's an interleague game. It's the AFC versus the NFC. Detroit probably not going to make it to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati, a lot of people thought they would, but they're so – you want to talk about boring? The Bengals are boring. The Bengals are boring.
Who said that Cincinnati was going to
– Roy and I both said they'll probably win the North. That's what we said. They'll win the North Division. North. Roy hates the Ravens. Steelers suck. And Cleveland's Cleveland, okay? Yeah. So that
there's a big difference between the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
We just wasted 30 seconds. The Cincinnati Bengals are probably going to win the North. They're going to go 10-6 or 11-5. They're going to win, but they suck. They're so boring to watch. Marvin Lewis is their head coach. I love Marvin Lewis. I made a big deal last week out of telling everybody that what Bill Belichick said about Marvin Lewis, which was. Actually, a pretty big-time interview for Belichick because he actually answered a question that he was asked. The question was, so what do you think about Marvin Lewis? He goes, Marvin Lewis is very consistent. Yeah, he's consistently boring. I think the Lions are not only going to cover the spread of 1.5 here, I think they're going to win the game outright. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a total that I decided on late today. I like the over in this game. Now, I think Detroit is going to have to score 30 points to win this game. If Cincinnati keeps it close, they're going to have to score in the 20s. And if they win, they're going to have to score in the 30s also. Take Detroit minus the points for 4 stars. I love that game, and I like the over a little bit. I like over Detroit-Cincinnati 46 points for 3 stars. Go to the next game. The Buffalo Bills. Great job last week by a guy they just brought up from the Thaddeus Lewis that they had just brought up from the practice squad for Buffalo, Thaddeus Lewis of Duke. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know I'm a big David Cutcliffe fan who coached Eli and Peyton, and he was one of my best friends, head coach for years at Ole Miss and at Duke, Ron Middleton, who's with the Jacksonville Jaguars now. God help you, Ron. I love Ron. But, you know, nobody hates losing worse than a guy that went to Auburn and a guy that has a Super Bowl ring from the Redskins. But Miami has been off for a week. You know, they had a bye week last week. They've had plenty of time to get healthy. They started moving the football pretty good the last few. I've got a guy activated. You know, I let Clay go. Did I tell you that? I let the tight end go because there's so many tight ends just kind of pop out of the woodwork every week. But I do have Hartline, Brian Hartline, and I activated him today. I hope that's not a mistake. Jeez. But anyway, Hartline and his Miami Dolphins and Tannehill, who's doing a pretty good job at quarterback for them. And you know what? They're all getting along. Plus, they've got a good head coach. He's in his second year. I don't like the game, but I'll tell you what I like here. I like the over again. 44.5 points. I think Thaddeus Lewis. By the way, Thaddeus Lewis is from Miami. That's where he went to high school. Duke evidently has got a pretty good lock on getting some of these really smart kids out of Florida because most of the stupid ones stay in Florida. Trust me. You know, I lived in Florida for a year, so Florida.
I agree with
every
you.
Every bizarre thing that's ever happened in the entire world, 99% of it happens in Florida. It really does. I mean, if you want to read about, you know, I don't even want to say some of the things I'm thinking about, but the worst, most bizarre thing you see on Twitter or Facebook, I guarantee you, had to happen in Florida.
Or Ohio. Ohio's close second, but yes, you're right.
Ohio?
Close second.
All right. Well, you know, you could be true. But anyway, I'm going to pass on this game, but I'm taking the over for 3 stars. Over 44.5, Buffalo-Miami. I really like Buffalo. They've got good players. They just have to get it together. And they do have a new coach, and they're getting used to their new coach. Next game. The Chicago Bears are playing the Washington Redskins at FedEx Field, which is about 40 minutes from here. Oh, God, we were on the same.
It happens every once in a while.
It's probably 35 miles, and in traffic, it's going to take me 40 minutes when I leave Matt's studio to get to the game because I have 2 tickets there, and I've asked Matt, but he doesn't. He's got little kids. He stays home on Sundays and does whatever his wife tells him to do, which is a good way to keep your marriage together. Chicago Bears are at the Redskins. This is a really weird line, and I'll tell you why. The Redskins are still getting what I call RG3 respect. There's no reason to give RG3 that much respect. He's not the guy he was last year. He isn't going to run the football much. Their special teams are absolutely freaking horrible. They don't give their best running back the ball enough. They drop too many passes. There's just too many reasons not to take the
defensive back.
Well, they have no defensive. Well, when D'Angelo Hall is your best playing defensive back, you're in trouble. Oh, and by the way, Dave Amerson, who I happen to like, has a terrible concussion. Oh, and his father is a concussion doctor, and his dad, they interviewed this week, and he said, you know, he was unconscious a week ago. He probably shouldn't be playing this week. So I'm sure the Redskins are real happy about his dad coming out and saying that. But you know what? Evidently, if you have a second concussion within like 5 months or something, it's really bad for you. Jesus, I think I had two in 1 week once.
Didn't they just
maybe that's off, what's wrong with me.
Maybe we have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure they pulled
what was like I talking
three,
about? Got,
three defenders off of the couches this week.
They're in big trouble.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, I was trying to have a couple of guys on from Washington today. You can't even go. We're gonna, by the way, we're gonna have Sean Salisbury call in. We're gonna do his segment, the next segment, which is at 12:17. Is that about somewhere around 12:15? And it's probably gonna be a fairly long segment.
11.
But you got to hear Sean Salisbury. He'll be on the next segment. But anyway, I'm not taking the Redskins plus one. Guess what I'm taking for five stars? I'm taking the over 48 points. And you can tease it down to 38 if you're smart. The winner of this game, people, is going to score 38 to 45 points. The loser is going to score at least 24 points. Take the over. Leave the game alone. But if you have to pick the game, take the Chicago Bears. They actually don't suck. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, on News Talk 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I've got Sean Salisbury on the line. Sean's headed to make some all-star first-round draft choices in the future. Sean, it's great to have you on again. You're headed towards Houston. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm in Houston. I'm headed towards Woodlands High School to train three quarterbacks from different schools.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that. I hope the weather's as nice out there as it is today.
Perfect. Sunny sky is going to be low 70s today. It's perfect.
Yeah, had some great ball games on this past Saturday. Johnny Manziel got hurt a little bit, got banged up, came back in, and I really thought that they were going to win it because I thought they were given too much time. Really wasn't sure what in the heck the coaches on the other team were thinking about. But in my opinion, I mean, you can't give Manziel a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you know, to go down the field.
Yeah, and had they have had the protection held up and they have made some plays in the last drive, they would have won. They get down there near the 18-yard line and take a sack and a couple sacks at the end. And, you know, Manziel proves that he's just a great player. I mean, he's giving him the ball in college is the equivalent of allowing Brady or one of those guys to have another shot at it. And, you know, they gave him plenty of time to go down and score, and their defense came up big in the end. I mean, neither defense is very good, Auburn's or A&M's, but they came up big with a couple big plays at the end. Johnny trying to make something happen and didn't, and almost came up with the Evans catch in the end zone. So, you know, A&M ought to get on their hands and knees and beg Johnny for forgiveness because he keeps them in every game. But when you're going to give up over 600 yards, you can't win many games. I don't care if Superman's playing quarterback. So A&M's biggest downfall, they score and they look pretty and they've got a hell of a quarterback that can't stop anybody. You can't win games, whether it's Auburn, Vanderbilt. All around the SEC, it showed yesterday.
No, absolutely.
It showed. I mean, you know, Vanderbilt, if you don't come ready to play.
Yeah,
and
you know,
you're in trouble in that conference.
No, absolutely. I'm sitting here looking at some of the games. I hope I didn't bother you with a couple of my tweets, but I love to watch David Cutcliffe in action because he's taken a Duke program that struggled for so long. I mean, they haven't won really since Steve Spurrier was the head coach back in the early 80s. And the thing that I don't understand about the University of Virginia is what exactly are the Wahoos doing? I mean, they've got their offensive line looks like an NFL offensive line, but Duke was down 22-0 and they came back and beat them 35-22. And they basically look like the Virginia guys just quit on them. I know you weren't watching that game, but I love David Cutcliffe. Do you think there's ever any chance this guy is going to end up in the NFL, or do you think he's just so happy to be a college football head coach, getting a big payday, having a lot of fun? He's coached Eli Manning. He's coached Peyton Manning. He's coached the kid that ended up last week in Buffalo and almost pulled a win out in his actually, that was his second NFL start last week.
Right.
You think Cutcliffe?
Thaddeus Lewis,
yeah. Thad Lewis is from Miami, too, and, of course, they go into Miami today. And I really like Buffalo getting all those points. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game, a lot more than people think, because I don't think Buffalo's defense is that good. And Miami's defense is a little overrated, but Thad Lewis isn't going to go into Miami and look bad. This kid's the real deal, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a good football player, and you know, with experience, it's only going to get better. And people seem to like him, and he'll and he was well coached. I mean, you're right with Cutcliffe, who is I think David is number one of the great teachers. Anybody can coach. You can yell and scream, or you can draw plays on the board, but can you call plays in a tough situation? And can you shape kids and make them better? And Cutcliffe does. I mean, look at the two guys. There's three Super Bowl rings on the two quarterbacks he's coached, and the Mannings swear by him. And, you know, I think Peyton still turns to him at times in the offseason when he needs some conversation about playing the quarterback position. So that's a tremendous, you know, compliment to David. So, I think he could go. I think Dave could get a job in the NFL easy if he wanted one. I mean, as a coordinator and quarterback coach. But, I think my gut tells me he likes being in the college atmosphere, the family atmosphere, and, you know, in the college towns and shaping kids' lives. And I don't have a problem with it. I get him. I mean, if somebody came and offered me a head coach in the NFL or head coach in college, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't take the college head coaching job instead, just because you get to be a dad for, you know, feeling bad while the kids are on the road if they're away from home. You get to, you know, coach them, and you get to make sure their academics stay in shape and that they're trying to make right decisions. So I think that's about as important a position as there is in sports, is coaching a college kid or a high school kid, because you still get a chance to shape their lives, and they love mentors, and David's a really good one.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, let's go to one more game I want to get your input on that we both watched last night, Florida State and Clemson. Boy, I'll tell you what, this Florida State team, they have just inserted themselves into, I mean, any other year, you would think that they could probably go in there and give Bama all they want, especially from the offensive side of the ball. Now, Alabama's defense is good, and I don't know that Oregon's going to lose enough points, you know, being in the Pac-12 and playing the although they didn't cover for the first time all season, and that broke my heart. Not only did they not cover, Sean, they didn't cover the 10-point teaser. That's what
– wow.
That destroyed some people I know. But I love what Florida State looks like. How about this quarterback? I mean, where is Jimbo? I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, and I know, that everybody in the state of Florida that's in high school dreams about being a Florida State quarterback. I mean, so he's going to get those guys anyway. But how good is this kid that was that's playing for them now?
Well, Jimbo knows how to recruit, number one. And I he's, you know, got a defensive mind, and he's getting good offensive players, which helps. And their team speed is ridiculous. Florida State looks like Florida State at the height of Bobby Bowden's when he was running with Charlie Ward and that group. I mean, they're pretty sped. Peter Warwick's in the world. They're special. They have great team speed. They're always physical, and they are so athletic that if you don't play a perfect game, they're going to get you. And you know, Taj Boyd was outplayed by this redshirt freshman. Everybody that he's played, this redshirt freshman's outplayed. Now, he's not going to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, he's not. But unless all of a sudden Mariota or even Manziel fall flat on their face. But this kid now sitting in the 2 or 3 position as a redshirt freshman, as a Heisman Trophy winner. He just throws for 444 last night. He is my biggest. You can give me all the physical tanks, a big, strong body. He's got a great arm. But his poise is ridiculous. I mean, he made Clemson on the road look as if he was playing back at his high school. So, you know, he can make all the throws. But I was curious how he was going to handle the atmosphere playing on the road and, you know, in Death Valley, and how he would handle it. And not only did he handle it, he shined through it. I mean, it was fascinating. And Clemson did what Clemson does. At one point every year, we talk about them as, oh, my gosh. You know, special football team, and they pick one game a year to urinate down their leg. And they did it again. Not that Florida State didn't beat them. Florida State beat them. Clemson didn't play their best game, but a lot of that has to do with Florida State. So they picked that one game and continue to prove why they're not a national championship team. But Florida State, Florida State can line up and play Alabama today. Florida State, the one reason why they can also play Oregon is because they've got the same kind of speed that Oregon has. So you're looking now at Florida, what's going to happen? Ohio State's going to be 3, which shouldn't be.
You think they'll still be 3 yesterday?
Florida State probably passes them up. It's going to go Alabama, Oregon, probably Florida State, then Ohio State, and then I don't even know who was. I mean, with so many losses, with Clemson losing, UCLA losing, I mean, I don't even know who's going to slide into the 5 slot. I didn't even look this morning, but Florida State probably passes them up. So those teams are sitting in perfect position. I think Ohio State's good. I think the Big Ten's average at best. And Ohio State may go undefeated again, but they don't want to hear this, Buckeye fans. But, you know, they're not the fourth best team in the country, okay? I can tell you that as sure as I'm sitting here right now. But they only play the schedule. They keep winning. So, but I'd take Florida State, Oregon, or Alabama game against those 3 teams any day of the week.
All right, tell you what we're going to do, Sean. We're going to have some fun. I know you like doing this, and you get your eyes on the road now. Keep them on the road. I don't want to be the guy that got Sean in an accident here. But listen,
no problem.
Let's talk about this ball game right here. The Houston Texans were, I'd say, 25% of the people who, quote-unquote, know what's going on in the NFL, picked them to be at least in the AFC Championship game this year. They figured probably that Baltimore wouldn't be there because they had so many changes. And everybody was right about Baltimore, but God, how wrong were they about Houston? They go into Kansas City, where the Kansas City Chiefs, and I told you about the trip I made. As a matter of fact, I talked to you that weekend, I think, or tweeted you. I went out to Vegas to play nothing but futures. And Kansas City was anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5 wins for the season. Well, they win today at home in front of that big crowd. They've already hit half the futures, and they still got over half their season left. Who's going to win this game, and do you think that Kansas City is going to cover? I look at this. They're -6 at home. I would think that home crowd advantage, if both teams were even, it would be almost 6 with that team. How do you feel about this game?
I would think it'd be 6 if Matt Schaub was quarterbacking, to be honest with you. I mean, as the starting quarterback, he's been in the league a while. Now Case Keenum, the third-string guy.
Who's a good kid. He's a good kid.
Oh, no, he is. He's a good player. You know, he was in college a while, got a lot of experience, and I know they love his enthusiasm. I mean, Houston, but be careful what you wish for, because you got him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get your first start now, it's 2 choices. You can go on the road as a rookie, he's not a rookie, he's in essence a rookie because he hasn't played, but a second-year guy going to go on the road, and you could be so naive, you just kind of let it all, what you got to lose? Nobody expects him to do well against what I consider, along with Seattle, the 2 best defenses in the league. Nobody expects him to do well. So he just has to go cut it loose and go play football, and he may have some really good results. The other side of it is you could get in trouble in a hurry there, throw a couple picks, and it starts to go downhill, and it can become overwhelming. In your first start, and I've been there. You find yourself hyperventilating, nervous. You'll go through every emotion possible, and he'll make some great throws today. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little shocked. It's only 6.5 points. I really am. I third string quarterback, but maybe Vegas isn't stupid. They get this. So Kansas City did not play well offensively, as well as they have. They didn't play well. They're still consistent, but they need to be a little bit more explosive. And Texans got a good defense, so. While I know it's sitting out there and it's kind of, man, it's a daunting point spread, meaning, it's so, you want to grab on that and say Kansas City, no doubt. Houston will keep it a little closer, but I don't, to me, this is a 10-point game at least. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I don't think you are, Sean.
I think Kansas City's going to force some turnovers, and it's all going to come down. It just goes to show you. Here's the Texans when your quarterback does not play well, and Matt Schaub hasn't played well. It's not just him. Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
But when the quarterback does not play well, your team isn't very good. And when your quarterback plays well, you always have a chance. And that's been a big part of the Texans' problem. Everybody's excited about Case Keenum because he's a local kid and from the University of Houston. They better be careful what you wish for, because this could be a really way. I mean, it's a tough way to get your first start. I like Kansas City, and I like them. I like them by at least a touchdown, and maybe a touchdown, a field goal, or more.
I agree with you, and that means that we agree on that. And like I said, we're 5-1 when we agree. Now, listen, Cincinnati, the Bengals, who a lot of people have picked to win the AFC North Division, and they've played really well, but they offensively, they just don't do it for me. They don't run the ball particularly well. They don't throw the ball down the field particularly well. And they go into a Detroit line, into Ford Field in Detroit, where, you know, the Lions, you can say what you want about them, but, you know, this is do or die time for their head coach, Schwartz. You know, I like Schwartz, Jimmy, okay. He acts like an idiot sometimes. I think he's learned how to keep his mouth shut, because he and Martin Mayhew, in my opinion, are on their last year if they don't produce. And I like I like the Lions -2 here at home. They got this kid, Foria, from UCLA. He's like, 6'8", 270 pounds. He's caught 7 or 8 passes, and 5 of them are for touchdowns. You know what? I'm not big on not big at all on fantasy football, but I have a team because I just have to have one. And because it's a station team. And I activated Foria this week as like my swing guy, because he might catch 2 touchdown passes. What do I know?
Right.
I know I got.
I like.
Yeah. Do you like Detroit? Do you like the Lions too? Because I love them today.
Yes, and it's going to be a loud building, and they're going to throw the ball. And it's surprising to me that Cincinnati with AJ Green doesn't push the ball down the field more. And it's surprising with the 2 running back system that they got some pretty good players, but they're not more effective offensively. You know, they just want to. Seems to me the Cincinnati Bengals want to keep everybody close. Every game they play, it seems that it's 17-13, 21-17. They don't ever allow themselves, for the most part, to extend the lead and to get comfortable. And maybe that's what they do, and then they rely on a big play.
Yeah, it's Marvin Lewis. So, he did that in Baltimore, too.
Yeah, and a lot of defensive coaches have that philosophy. Keep it close, and our defense will make a play. So I like Dalton, but I like Stafford better. I do, and I think the explosiveness of the Lions, I'd take that. I think Lions win by a field goal at home.
I agree with you. And listen, I love the fact that we're talking about quarterbacks from Texas to you, okay, from the state of Texas.
Oh, yeah, and there's plenty of them.
All right, here's the big game. I love the Eagles. You know, don't you love that I don't even ask you until I tell you who I like? But I love the Eagles because everybody in the world is taking the 3 with Dallas on the road in Philly. But I'm telling you, I think that the Eagles are a little bit underrated, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't matter if they put Nick Foles in there or Michael Vick. Both of them get the job done. They move the football. They do wear out the team they're playing. And I watched Peyton Manning put 51 up on the Cowboys, a week ago? There's no doubt in my mind. This game is 55.5 total. My big play is the over. I love the over here. I think it's going to be a 41-38 game. Something like that. But I think the Eagles are going to win this game, and I think they're going to be in first place. You know, their defense, I don't know how much money they're spending on the salaries of their defensive unit right now, the Eagles, but it's got to be not a whole lot of money, because they got a lot of kids in there. They got a lot of younger guys. They've been banged up, but you know what? If they continue to improve on the defensive side of the ball in that division, the NFC East, they can win it. They could win this division, and nobody gave them a chance.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. And as much as I like Michael Vick, the one thing that Nick Foles, aside from a big body who still moves pretty well, gives you, he's more accurate throwing the football. And Michael's a hell of a talent, excuse me, and they both get it done. But it's a good problem to have for Chip Kelly. But Foles, I think, plays well today. I'm not sure Michael gets a job back, to be honest with you, Bruce. I think at least any time in the near future. If Foles goes out and does what he's done, he was NFC Player of the Week last week. I think that he's got a chance to validate what a lot of us thought about him when he came out of the University of Arizona. Well, the way they're playing, and they can move the football, they talk about explosive. I'm with you. I don't have a question picking this. I think the Eagles definitely win in Philly, and I think Nick Foles plays well, and I don't think either defense stops anybody. Neither one of them has stopped anybody for the most part this year. And a good explosive offense. You can move the ball on both. You know, Philly's young on defense, and I know they've got some things they got to do. They don't invest the money like they did when I used to play against them, when I was to play when Reggie
sure.
White and Eric Allen and all those great players were there.
Right.
They were special. Well, they've got to get back to doing that. And when Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator, God rest his soul, who I loved.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best on the planet. So, yeah, I definitely the over. I think this game's in the 60s. And I also think that the Philadelphia Eagles win straight up, get in first place. It's what the Cowboys do. They won last week and won pretty handily over the Redskins. And I think they go back in and they'll make some plays. But I just think the Philadelphia Eagles at home win the football game. And it proves why the division's average, but it proves why every team other than the Giants, probably the Redskins too. I mean, for the most part, even the Redskins, if they go on a run like they did last year, they come in and win the division. You get the 8, you get the 9 wins, you're definitely winning this division.
I got you. Listen, one last game real quick. We got about a minute left in the segment. Sean, Denver Broncos are at the Indianapolis Colts tonight. Talk about a game that's going over. You know, Jim Irsay comes out and he's a horse's ass, talking about Peyton. In just no respect at all. And, you know, you saw my tweets. Jimmy Irsay's yep. definitely on medication, and there's nothing wrong with that because I am too, and a lot of my best friends are. But I think Jimmy just forgot to take his meds that day because he should have thought about what he said. Because what he yep. said is going to light a fire under one Peyton Manning, and they are going to, in my opinion, Denver. I like Indianapolis if you want a hedge here, but I love the over. I'm going to take the over for 5 stars and probably Indianapolis plus the 6 for 2 or 3, but that's it. How do you feel about this game? Do you think Denver and Indianapolis is going to be a good game? Do you think it's going to be high scoring? What do you think?
I think it's going to be a good game, and I would take the over as well. And when you've got two great quarterbacks and it's indoors and the weather's not going to be a factor, I always take quarterback play and take, I mean, if all things being equal, and two good quarterbacks are in it, unless you've got monster defenses and neither team does. Von Miller's coming back, but Andrew Luck's special. I agree
God
with
him. God, he is, isn't he?
He sure is. He's top 5.
I'll tell you what.
Already.
You can say what you want about Indianapolis, but they made the right decision between him and Robert
yeah, they
Griffin.
Did. Oh, they did.
And they knew. Yeah. They knew.
Yep, they did. And Griffin will still be a hell of a player, but Luck's the king of those young quarterbacks. He's special. So, you know, they get in lucky for Indianapolis. They win the Powerball to get those Manning and
right,
Luck,
right.
You know, quarterbacks for 28 to 30 years between the two of them. But I don't know why Jim did it. I mean, Jim's got a big ego, and Jim sometimes says some stupid things.
He's not a bad guy either.
No,
he just runs his mouth.
Forever. Yeah, and he does. And you know, doing that would be like waking up Michael Jordan. You don't want to. They already have enough motivation. You don't want to give a superstar even more chance. Manning will play lights out. Colts will lose the football game, but it'll be closer. It's not going to be a blowout. The quarterback will keep them in it, and they're pretty physical. But I like Manning in the end to win it, and I like him to put up numbers, and I like him pretty much without having to say anything, send a big message non-verbally. That's the way he takes care of his business.
I got you, Sean. Listen, thanks so much for coming on. And don't hang up. I want to talk to you real quick. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We had Sean Salisbury on just now. What a great segment that was. We actually let the segment go a little longer because, you know, anytime Sean's talking, you got to listen. I wish I had the guy on 24/7. He's a smart guy, wonderful guy, does everything for the right reasons. He's got a line of clothing, by the way, everydamndown.com. You need to go on the computer, and you can order these T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts, hoodies. Great stuff. Everydamndown.com. The reason it's called everydamndown.com is one of Sean's big things he says is you got to play every damn down. You know, it's you get one down and you either do good or bad, you get to the next down. Play that down.
What I love about Sean is that he talks with a, you know, mid-Atlantic accent almost, except for when he says the name of his clothing line. It's, you know, so I had this clothing line, every damn down. It's like, it changes him. You can tell there's something inside of him that comes out when he says that.
Sean's from Southern California. You know what's funny is people from California generally don't have an accent. Just like people from Northern. People from the D.C. area, until you get to the Baltimore side, they don't have an accent either. Now, if you drive south, even to Fredericksburg, and there are people from Fredericksburg, Virginia, that you're talking
Redneck,
to,
Virginia?
You would think, hey, the closer you get to the city of Richmond, which, you know, used to be the capital of the South. That's where Jefferson Davis, you know, his headquarters or capital or whatever it was. But Richmond, Virginia, you'll have as big of a Southern accent in Richmond, Virginia, as you'll have in Mississippi or Alabama. Mm-hmm. It's even a little bit deeper and a little bigger of a draw. North Carolina is really sexy when the girls talk that way. South Carolina, they got great accents there. Tennessee, those girls got great accents. The guys, I really don't even listen to the guys. I'm just listening to the girls talk. I'm Bruce Hall, and I love listening to girls talk with a Southern accent. My wife doesn't mind me saying that, I don't think. I've been married 26 years. I love my wife. She
doesn't
that.
Listen to this.
She, yes, she does. She listens to some of it. She used to give me a hard time when I used to yell at Roy. You know, everybody used to give me a hard time. But I learned to put up with Roy's stuff. I do miss Roy, but you've been great today, Matt. And by the way, what was great about you and I during our break, what did we do? We talked about our fantasy football, Matt, and Matthew, unlike Roy, well, Roy does it too. He talked me through me making a change. I brought Lamar Miller in. See, I didn't want to drop DeMarco Murray. I thought, and you know what Matt said? Matt said, let Flacco go. He sucks. So I did. I let Flacco go. And nobody's going to pick Flacco. Who's going to pick? Yeah, but who's in their right mind is going to pick Flacco up? He threw like three picks last week.
I'm not going to be on the Flacco bashing crew. But
yeah,
you mean like
Roy who lives in Towson, you mean? Yeah, I know. I don't understand.
I feel like I'm closer in Columbia here.
Roy,
everybody loves Baltimore here.
Matthew, listen to me. He picks him to win the Super Bowl last year, right? This year he says they suck. He's the biggest. And you know what? The greatest thing about Roy is, you know, he thought West Virginia was unbelievable at the start of the season. And then they get beat, 75-0 or some incredible amount there. And that, then he wants to fire the head coach, Dana Holgorsen. You know, if he was my employer, it's a good thing he's got a government job because he'll never get fired, Roy. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. But go to everydamndown.com. Look at that stuff. It's priced right. I'm going to order like 10. What I'm going to do is order some shirts, and we're going to give Sean shirts away on the show. And give me a call if you want to call in right now. We don't know if Chuck Todd's calling in or not. Depends on the state, what's going on over at the White House. But I'm going to have him on either this week or next week, and I'm going to get his picks of the week. Tony Mazur,
by the way,
with Yahoo Sports, is going to call in the last segment, and we're going to do his pick of the week. But right now, let's finish up, because you know what? We have to, because that's our job. The thing I want to do right now is find what I was looking for, and here it is. Go to scoresandodds.com, and you'll be able to follow exactly what I'm looking at. And, oh, by the way, go to my website, brucehallsports.com, at 4 o'clock today, I'll have updated my current power ratings. And I will also have updated them through the 4 o'clock game. Then at 8 o'clock, I will update them through the 4 o'clock games. And then after tonight, tomorrow morning, I will update through the Sunday night game. And then on Tuesday morning, I will update my power rankings through Monday Night Football. But anyway, we stopped at, this is a good one, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. Let me tell you
something. A good one.
Well, it is a good one, and I'll tell you why. It's a good one because Atlanta's horrible right now. You couldn't get – they've got their two – number. Julio Jones is out for the year. Mm-hmm. Roddy White is out this week. They're going to triple-team Tony Gonzalez. They have no running backs healthy. Steven Jackson is out. Their defense sucks. You know what? If you're going to take Tampa Bay, today's the day to take them.
Basically, the coaches are playing today, right?
And you know, I'm going to pass on the game, and I'm going to tell you why. I want Tampa Bay to lose so badly so they'll fire Schiano. And I want, and by the way, he doesn't do that little thing where they submarine at the end of the game anymore because his players told him that was wrong. And he actually agreed with them. So, you know.
I think they probably said, we're not going to do that or we're doing that to you.
Well, they're like Grambling University. If you do that, we're not going to play anymore. Anyway, I'm talking Tampa Bay, Atlanta, pass on the game. But if you got to go either way, go Tampa Bay. Next game. St. Louis Rams are at the Carolina Panthers. The Rams had their best game of the season last week. Carolina is due to win. They're -7. You got to pass. This could go either way. I'm not crazy about this game, although Cam is better at home than he is on the road. But the Panthers have burned me a couple of times, but they have a much better team. You know, I'm just beginning to think that Cam Newton is not the answer for this football team. It's not the Panthers. It's Cam Newton. Next game. Dallas Cowboys at the Eagles. We already talked about this game earlier.
I have to disagree with you guys.
You don't think we like the Eagles? You take Dallas. What do you want to play for?
As much as I hate saying that.
Hey, Goofball. Well, let's just.
I don't play for anything.
All right, you got to be quiet. No, well, see, if you don't put your money where your mouth is, then keep your mouth shut. And that's just, that's me telling you to shut up. Dallas Cowboys are plus. Actually, you know what that line is now? -2.5. The Eagles are 2.5-point favorites. That means, well, you know what that means? That means that people are playing the Eagles. They're playing the Eagles. They're -2.5. The total is 55. It's a 10-star play. Over 55 points? Let's see what's mostly sunny. West wind 8 to 13. Kickoff temperature 60. Take the over for 5 stars. If you play the game, play the Eagles. I think they beat the Cowboys. This is going to be a great game to watch. Next game, Matt. We'll get one more game. We'll get this other game in, and then that's perfect. It'll leave us with Cleveland for Tony. Tampa Bay, Atlanta. San Francisco's at Tennessee. Two teams that both should make the playoffs. They're both 4-2. San Francisco is an away favorite. Tennessee, a home dog, +3. They don't have Jake Locker back yet. This game could go either way. The total is 40.5. There's a lot of action on the under here. I'm going to pass because Vegas has done their job here. Now, if San Francisco was 4, 4.5, 5, or 6, or 7, I'd take Tennessee with all those points. But if you held a gun to my head right now, which please don't do that, but if you held a gun to my head, I would tell you to take San Francisco as a road favorite. -3 because they have the better team right now. Is it time to go? We'll be back in a minute with Tony Mazur from Yahoo Sports, me, Matt, and more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Boy, we're back, and we got Tony Mazur from Yahoo Sports on the line. Tony, you there?
I certainly am.
I'm so glad you're with us. Listen, we just happened to stop right on the Cleveland Brown-Green Bay Packer game, which is a perfect place to stop, in my opinion. The Packers on the money line are -420. I don't see any way Cleveland wins this game. Green Bay's now -11. With Brandon Whedon at quarterback, I look at two names, Brandon Whedon, and then I look over here, Aaron Rodgers. Brandon Whedon, Aaron Rodgers. I got a sneaky feeling at home in Lambeau that the Packers are probably still a good play at -11. How thinks Tony Mazur?
Well, I mentioned this to you off the air, and I said that the Browns will probably hang around maybe in the first half, because here's an interesting thing. They're 3-3, but they have led at halftime in all 6 games they've played this year.
Oh, my God.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they hung around a little bit, but and I'm sure you've seen the loop of Brandon Whedon throwing that sideways flip that got picked off, which you put the Benny Hill yakety sack just in a loop and watch that. It's hilarious. Whedon's done. And really, what's to say about Jason Campbell? And you guys have seen
I like Jason Campbell. I just have always liked Jason Campbell because Jason Campbell never really ever, even here in Washington, Tony, and you haven't seen him as much as I have because I was tortured with Norv Turner for years here. Yeah. And you're being tortured with him now to a certain extent. And you'll see that he's not that good. Hey, if you had coached 8 All-Pros out of 11 offensive players in Dallas, you know, you wouldn't even have to do anything. You could have just told Aikman to go out and call your own damn play. Make me look good. But
Norv is just completely – his play calling is so predictable.
Yeah.
They had, I think, 3 or 5 runs in the second half last week, which is more than I thought it was, because I never see the Browns run the ball in the second half.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Sprint draw, second and 12, sprint draw every time. Then he's 3rd and 8, so he's got to throw the ball. Then they bring the nickel in and they blitz the quarterback, and nothing good happens to the offense.
And the fact that they're 3-3 right now, 2 of those wins came because of Brian Hoyer. And the 3rd win was a game started by Brian Hoyer, which that means that Brandon Weeden, as a starter this year, is 0-3. And he has started now in a total of 18 games. And I think he's thrown 17 interceptions, 14 touchdowns in his career. And the thing is with the Browns, people going into the season
right here
were saying, well, Weeden's going to be a 4,000-yard passer under Norv Turner in this downhill offense, and Trent Richardson's going to have 2,000 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
Well,
forget
Trent
it.
Trent Richardson, boy, was he – I didn't like the Trent Richardson pick.
No, you know what? They're figuring it out in Indianapolis, too. I can't remember what show I was watching, but they kept giving him the ball, and he was just like getting 2 or 3, 4 yards every time. He doesn't have breakaway speed, it doesn't seem like, and he doesn't even look for the crease. He just looks for positive yardage. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Tony Mazur with Yahoo Sports. Tony, Green Bay has dropped to 8-5. Literally, while I sat here, I watched it change, which means that between, I'd say 8 o'clock this morning, and now it's we're pushing 12 noon. This is probably the last update we'll get before 1 o'clock. It's at 8.5. You know what that means? A bunch of people are playing the Browns, and I don't get that. But generally speaking, late money isn't stupid money. It's kind of wise guy money. I'm going to leave that alone. Are you going to leave that alone? Are you going to take Cleveland? Are you going to take Green Bay? Or are you just going to leave it alone?
I'm going to leave it alone, actually, because the Browns have become such a wild card, and thank God I don't bet, because I wouldn't put money on the Browns.
I don't bet. I just handicap, and they pay me for my handicap information.
Oh, there you go.
That works better than that way you make money every time. Let me ask you this now. You're 2-0. You won last week with Kansas City, a dog. I actually went the other way because I was too smart for you. And Kansas City once again covered. And you know what I did this week? They didn't get the respect they deserved again. They're 5.5-point favorites over a Houston team that's starting a guy for the first time ever, although Case Keenum is better than Matt Schaub right now, that's for sure. And he's probably a lot more athletic than Matt Schaub, too. I'm playing Kansas City this week, but who is your pick of the week?
I am going to go with Detroit over Cincinnati.
I love you, Tony. You should have listened to me and Sean. Me and Sean were both on Detroit. That means all three of us believe Detroit -1.5 now. Let me check and make sure that didn't change. Hold on 1 second. Detroit is 2.5. It's back to 2.5. But I'm going to take them there. You know what? It's time for the Bengals to lose. They're boring. They can't score. And Detroit is going to have a fire up their butt. And that's in that.
Cincinnati benefited from a game last week in the elements. And then with Detroit turned it on because they have Calvin Johnson back, although he has.
It's about 80% is what I hear.
Yeah. But you have. Really, they had a case of the dropsies last week, but that team goes as Reggie Bush goes, and Florey had 3 touchdowns.
Well, Bush is healthy now. He's 100% now.
Oh yeah, and that team and Matt Stafford is a guy that's kind of proven me wrong, because he's been a guy that we saw it last year. They were 4-11, but Calvin Johnson sets the yard record for receivers, and you go. So basically, it's Stafford to Calvin Johnson, that team.
Yeah, they had
Stafford
a lot. They had a lot of problems. He didn't even catch a touchdown pass till the last game. I mean, that was a dysfunctional team last year, and a lot of it was their offensive line, and a lot of it was their front seven on defense being more concerned with what they were doing after the game, I think, than they were during the game.
Well, I'm wondering if Ndamukong Suh is. If he's actually going to make any money this week.
Well,
just every time he's out there, he's getting fined.
Well, he's making a lot of money. And here's the thing about Ndamukong Suh. He has already said, and his family has already said, they want out of Detroit. So he's basically, you know, he's a lame duck. They know they're not going to be able to keep him. Somebody is going to pay for him, though. They're not going to trade him. They might try to trade him. I think he's got one more year left on his contract. But as soon as he's done, he has said he's out of Detroit. His family hates Detroit, evidently. Hey, you want to do the last couple of games with me real quick here? So you're taking Detroit as your play. You know, hopefully you're 3-0. Let's talk about the Ravens Steelers. This is my only under of the day. We got 2 minutes left. Under 41 points, I'm taking it. It's going to be a field goal game. Am I wrong?
Oh, my God, no. It's so under. And I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh pulls this one out because they actually stepped it up a little bit. Granted, it was the Jets last week, but Baltimore has proven now, and Flacco, I'm wondering if the ink has dried on that deal because what do you have, 5 interceptions a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, he had 5. Yeah, he did have 5. He sure did. I mean, his quarterback rating is around 68 or 70 or something.
Yeah, and that's not
a guy. Hey, Tony, I just let him go. I just let him go off my fantasy team. So how good can he be? You know who I put in for him? Lamar Miller of Miami today. I mean, that's how much I think of Flacco. All right, so we both like the Steelers a little bit, and we love the under, right?
Yes.
All right. Denver, Indianapolis. This is the game of the week, Monday night. Who do you like here? I'm sorry. This is tonight. Indianapolis is +6. I like. We saw what Irsay did. You know, Jimmy's a nice guy. He's just out there, and he didn't think about what he said. Jimmy doesn't write stuff down before he says.
He should have bounced that off somebody. I think when he said. Sent tweet and all that.
Do you know, guys, Tony, do you have friends that suffer from clinical depression and anxiety? Because Jimmy does, and I know he's heavily medicated. Sounds like he just was off his meds, doesn't he? A little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. It reminds me of when Dan Gilbert sent out that letter saying that the Cavs are going to win the championship for Miami.
All right, 30 seconds, Tony. Tony Mazur, yeah. Listen, where can we hear you? Can we hear you? Can we hear you on Yahoo Sports now? Or are you going to be on Roy on Sports Bank?
The Yahoo Sports Radio Podcast Center. It's called the Sports Hub. I do a show with John Cupo, and you can find it anytime on Podcast One, iTunes, and like I said, the Yahoo Sports Podcast Center.
Tony Mazur, ladies and gentlemen. Tony, thanks. This is Bruce Hall signing off. Till next week.